After sharing what I shared last night, we had, I don't know how many, apparently quite a few people contact our office. Some contacted me asking me to share this revelation once again. And I decided what I would do is give you, share some of the things that I shared last night, but also put them in context with other things that the Lord spoke or showed me in visions or showed me or confirmed through other people. And so it's going to be a little bit more extensive tonight, and I'm just going to take the time and not worry about trying to rush through this. I was shocked that so many people were so interested in this, but I'm so thankful. I really believe that the Lord has picked up a nugget that was given to us in the early church. At the very beginning, the scriptures that we're using were written by the disciples. So they understood what I'm sharing, but they understood it through the very mouth of Jesus Christ. And here I come later, a Johnny come lately, you might say, or maybe a Joni come lately, and reiterate this truth. I wasn't looking for this revelation. He's given me other revelations that I would love to share with you because they are so unbelievably powerful. But what I am going to share tonight, I'm beginning to find, is going to be a dynamic transition that the Lord is going to take the church into in a very short period of time. Now, when I say short, you know, that's as God sees short. I'm not thinking this is going to be something that will happen several decades from now. There have been many times in my ministry that God began to speak to me incredible revelation, but it took him decades to finish giving it to me. And one of those things was Melchizedek, the Melchizedek priesthood. And I've written about it. I've written a book about it, a very lengthy book. But this situation, I don't know. Will it have the same impact on the church? I don't have all the information, but what I do have, I'm going to share with you. And if you think in your heart that this is really something beautiful that God wants to do for the church and through the church, then I ask you to pray with me that God will finish giving this revelation quickly so that we can get it out to the church, because time is clicking away. So with all of that, are you ready? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Some time ago, a very short time ago actually, Jesus said to me, you are my kingdom. Not the body is my kingdom. Not a certain kind of ministry is my kingdom. But he was talking about me personally, that I was his kingdom. And he wasn't saying this as though he were saying, so I'm your king and you are my servant. That isn't what he was saying. He was actually telling me that we have a kingdom inside of us. And I want to go into that a little bit tonight. And if we don't cover it all and leave you feeling much more satisfied than I left you last night, we'll swing back around as soon as the Lord helps me know how to present things better and more clearly. So with that, let me start reading. This whole revelation began with seeing a hole on top of a hill. There was dirt all over the top of the hill. I wondered what I was looking at and why. It was a fairly small hole, but deep. Suddenly, two men came over to the hole, carrying a man on a cross. His feet were nailed onto it. Then I saw them kind of dump this cross, and his feet, which were attached to the cross, into the hole to keep the cross standing. Then I heard the below. Jesus told me in an audible voice he uses when he speaks to me as a friend speaks to a friend. And that is essentially a very soft voice, but it's not the wee soft voice that you might hear in your heart. I hear it in my ears. So it's so gentle that I've come to use that term as a friend speaks to a friend. I've also heard his voice in the sounds of many waters, not a few times, and that's terrifying. And he said this I endured for you. You are now my kingdom. I responded in shock. What did you say, Lord? He repeated himself. You are my kingdom. He was saying that I personally am his kingdom. I was in awe. He's never spoken anything even close to this before. I was in awe. I began to ask him about different ones that I knew who were in various levels of growth. Is this one your kingdom? Yes, he said. Is this next one, and I gave the name, your kingdom also? And again, he responded positively. I asked about several people. His answer was always yes. Not it's in your kingdom. He wasn't responding to that question. He was responding to the question, are they individually your kingdom? Further, he said, from the moment one is born again, they become my kingdom. Now, maybe we've never heard that before. I'm not sure we have. So to hear that clear out here in the year 2023 seems amazing to me. Maybe it does to you too. His kingdom is not made up of material things. But those who belong to him, yes, we are his kingdom. I don't want you to take this and interpret it in your heart and say in your heart, no, what she's meaning is, you know, we're all part of his kingdom, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you, Sherry, you, Daniel, you, John, you, Ricky, me, we are all individually a kingdom, his kingdom. The minute we get saved, that transition begins. I thought about his words, trying to fully comprehend them. How could this be? I tried to remember scripture to verify the possibility of what it could mean. I thought about Revelation 1:6, Revelation 5:10, and remember, John was a disciple of Christ. These say, you and I individually are a kingdom, are his kingdom. And let me read it to you. Revelation 1:6, and this is in the English Standard Version. And made us a kingdom, hear that word? Made us a kingdom. Is he speaking about the collective here? No, he's speaking about the individual. Who is part of the collective? And made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, this scripture went through my mind as I was pondering the things that he was telling me. And right after that, the scripture out of Revelation 5:10. Again, the same Bible, English Standard Version. And you have made them a what? A kingdom and priest to our God. And they shall, listen to this, reign on the earth. He's talking about authority. He has made us a kingdom. Now, there are a few different ways you could have written this scripture, and it would not have finished saying the same thing. This is clearly, when you go back into the Greek, I talked to a friend of mine, Dan, and he did some research, and it's true what I'm going to say to you. When you go back into the Greek, it is definitely saying we have been made a kingdom, speaking of individually, and priests to our God. Isn't that incredible? The first century church, that is, the disciples, knew what I'm telling you. And who would have taught those things to them. Jesus, the Son of God himself. And we shall reign on the earth. And again, this is authority. This is one of the things he's telling us is that as kings of your kingdom, you will reign on the earth. I've got so much to say about some of this, but I don't know if I'll get to it tonight. I've got to see if something else might be more important. And then we look at Matthew 23-25. And it says right there in the scripture that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a king. In other words, it's telling us that we, as the people of God, have kingly authority in the earth. Now, this is not new to me. He shared this with me decades ago. In fact, I talk about it in my book, Melchizedek. What is new is to have to follow through on this thought to this. And a king has a kingdom. Where is our kingdom? Right here. In us. We are the kingdom. Singularly. That he calls mine. Isn't that beautiful? Now, I want to give you a confirming word, and this was given at a most serious time. Excuse me a minute, my boss is trying to talk to me. John says, Kingdom of God in Christianity, the spiritual realm over which God reigns. As king, or the fulfillment on earth of God's will. This is what this is telling us. I think probably most of my Christian life, that's that first thing that he wrote is what I believed. If you think about this, the space that the church fills. But the spiritual realm in us, and it isn't just the spiritual realm in us. It is the spiritual realm that begins to overtake the soulish realm. But I don't want to talk about that yet. I'll try to do that in a little bit. So if we look at Romans, I think it's in the fifth chapter. I could be wrong. But Paul talks about this, that we reign as kings, as Christians who are living by the Spirit. Now, if we keep sinning in this life after we get saved, we are not ruling. The sin principle, the sinful nature is ruling, and it's ruling our spirit. That's why it's so important to master the demands of our soul and flesh. Okay, Josh is my sister's son. He has been in the hospital fighting for his life. in the last few days, during the worst of the battle, Jesus took him to heaven and he spoke and laughed with Joshua. I also believe the Lord began a major healing in him, as he is now suddenly, after these devastating days, back to back to back, fighting so hard for his life. Now all of a sudden, he's going home, and he's going home because he's quite well enough to go home. And this healing began immediately after the Lord returned him. Well, I say immediately. It was within 24 hours of when the Lord returned him to his hospital bed. While he was up there with the Lord, Jesus told him that he was creating and building his kingdom through this terrible struggle for his life. That's what Jesus said. He said it to Josh. He didn't speak through a prophet. He didn't speak through his mother or father, who are both Christians. He spoke to him in heaven, face to face, and told him he was creating and building his heaven, or his kingdom, through this crisis. Now, this creating and the building of the kingdom is a lifelong task which the Spirit of Christ helps us build. No member of my family knew, for instance, that Jesus made himself known to me, sharing with me information about our kingdom. This is new vernacular in the modern church, and it was new vernacular in our family. So Josh heard nothing about building kingdoms until he heard it from the Lord himself. And I thought that was very, very interesting. Let's just for a minute consider this scripture. It's located in John 18:36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom," he's talking to Pilate here, "my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said to him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." So we find here that there is another reason that Jesus was brought into the reality, the historical reality of the human race, and that was to bear witness of the truth. Many, many truths that had been lost through sin in the world. I'm sure that Adam and Eve and those who followed for some time were heavily blessed with truths that we still have not recovered since the fall. And now we're in a time when God is restoring not relatively recent truths, but restoring the knowledge and understanding of truths that were given clear back in the days of Adam and Eve, when they walked in the light and were virtually light and of the light. The Bible says that they were not clothed, but they didn't need to be clothed because they were clothed with light. So he gave me a tremendous teaching on the fact that the church is light. I don't know how long that series lasted, 5 or 6 weeks, but I think it was one of the more powerful revelations that he's given to me. But when I came to understand, my dear friends, that this issue of us being a kingdom had everything to do with authority, I realize that the understanding and the use of this revelation in the hour it's being given and in the hour of working against some of the most dense darkness the world has ever known is just ahead of us, and it's going to put us way above the status quo. He will help us understand this issue of authority that comes with the kingdom that we are. And because of that, we will, say this please, we will rule and reign on the earth. That's just so exciting. So Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. The minute he says that, he is separating himself from every follower of Judaism, every person who would be called by a Jewish person a heathen. He is separating himself from just about 99.9% of the world population. My kingdom is not of this world. How in the world is Pilate going to understand a statement like that? This is amazing. And I'm sure he looked at him so quizzically, like, young man, what do you mean? Kind of thing, you know? If his kingdom is not of the world, then what is he doing here? Yes, yes, to attest to the truth. But what is he really doing here? And how is he attesting to the truth? Well, I wrote, lo, his kingdom is his people in the earth and in heaven. We are each and everyone a kingdom in and of ourselves. Jesus is king over all these kingdoms, King of kings and Lord of all. We therefore spend our lives building his kingdom within our kingdom by mutual consent. Some we do with the gifts of the Spirit, the talents given to us by God. Some building is accomplished through life struggles and sufferings like Joshi. Whether we make mistakes or we do it right, God has put it in our hands to, number one, create, and number two, build our kingdom within ourselves. And to do that and make sure that the ultimate goal is accomplished, he sends his spirit into us to help build that kingdom so it will be built right, even if we make mistakes in the course of a day or a season. Now I want to share with you a vision that I had of a gentleman and a friend that worked with me in NOLA when we were there. I had a vision of him. It was really peculiar. I'm standing in the sanctuary. He also is standing in the sanctuary, dressed in street clothes. And suddenly, before my very eyes, his street clothes became the kind of garb that a builder might wear. He had a builder's leather belt hanging from his waist. It had a hammer off a piece of metal near the outside of his right leg. And there was a little leather pouch, which was the perfect size for a heavy-duty tape measure. Also, there were two large leather pouches, which I could place any size nail or screw or small things that he was using with which to build. There was a tiny leather slot for a red contractor's pencil, maybe one or two other very small slots for nail punches in order to drive the head of the nail beneath the top of the wood to later putty and sand for stain or varnish or paint. There were other tools that he could lay, like screwdrivers or pillars or tin snips, in the two big pouches by the time it was filled with everything. He thought about all the tools he might need for a job for the day. He put them on the belt, and it may have weighed 10 to 20 pounds just hanging there off of his waist. The amazing thing was, I was dressed the same way all of a sudden. We had morning prayer meetings many mornings a week in NOLA, and we were praying heavily for the government. And at this particular time, the Lord had given me a whole series, a whole list of scriptures to pray over the government. So we would come to the sanctuary, pray, and then pray the scriptures over the government. This we did for several days. At the end of these days, praying for our government, the Lord gave me this vision that I'm trying to share with you. I saw an adobe brick fence, and I was there in front of it with Danny. We still had our mason bricklaying pants on and trowels in hand. We were saying, "We did it! The government is safe. The wall of God is around the government, so when he shakes it, all that is not of God will fall out." I was just elated, absolutely elated. We are going to have a new government. It's going to be God's government. There are people behind the scenes preparing for when God takes over. Cyrus, in respect to this revolution, the head of this revolution will be part Christian and part non-Christian, as in Cyrus. There will be a mantle on both types to rebuild this nation. Now this came to me again from Dan, and it's a revelation of the kingdom. Wow, wow, wow. He was talking about what I shared last night. Wow, wow, wow. What an amazing revelation. I've already spent a few hours meditating on it and looking up some of the verses you mentioned. Not that I need proof, for when Jesus told you, "You are my kingdom," that is good enough for me. Since you walk in union, but I back up everything with the word for those who are skeptics of new truth. More than half of all truth I have come directly or indirectly from you. Thank you and thank Jesus. And if Jesus speaks audibly to you, I believe it because of Mark 16:14. Once when you told me about the King James Version and the Amplified Versions being the English versions that Jesus quoted from when he would speak to you, concerning my thoughts regarding those two Bibles, you said, "Now don't throw the baby out with the bathwater." Then you prayed that God would show me another way that the King James Version and Amplified were both true. And he did. I learned that both the Peshitta Aramaic and the King James Version Greek New Testaments are inspired, since the Aramaic is the first manuscript. And then he takes me on a little side note. I may come back to that. The NES is Revelation 5:10, which reads, "And you have made us unto our God a kingdom." Each one of us, friends, as I said earlier, and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. This is so exciting. Following is the Peshitta Aramaic, which Aramaic was written first. It says this, "And you have made them a kingdom individually, priests and kings to our God, and they shall reign over the earth." Also in Revelation 1:6, again, the same as I just quoted, "And he has made us the priestly kingdom to God and his Father. To God be the glory." Now the priestly kingdom, he wasn't suddenly moving to from talking about the individual to going to the collective. He was saying in the same breath, the same frame of mind, that we each are priests, a priestly kingdom unto our God. Now the early church used the Aramaic Bible that taught them we are individually a kingdom. Yet the church after the 1611 King James Version publication has been taught that we are kings and priests of God's kingdom, which we are, but we are also an individual kingdom. Isn't this exciting? It makes you wonder what it looks like when it's speaking of the collective, but even more so when it's speaking of the individual. But let me try to give you some some thoughts to take home with you. The things of the kingdom of God are things that depict his personality, depict his character, depict who he is in the land of the Spirit, the realm of the Spirit. Well, like John wrote, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, not material things. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory and the reality of his kingdom. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I could say a lot of words about that one thing. I could speak on it week after week to help you understand that one statement, the hope of the glory. Because I've seen it. The Lord has been gracious enough to me to allow me to see it. But it isn't for myself only. Because I'm a prophetess, he shows me things to share with you. And those who are really hungry can eat that bread, the bread of truth that I give you, and it will be to you as though you personally have seen it. People, the church just really needs to learn how to hear the voice of the prophet so they don't feel intimidated or left out or less than a Christian. Because they don't get it. God will give you many, many revelations in this life if you will do it right. But for the things that he won't give you, he's given them to someone that can give you those revelations face to face. 2 Corinthians 5:1. In the King James Version, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The Lord spoke this scripture to me this morning, and it became very, very real in an unexpected way. House not made with hands. Our kingdom is not made with hands. Our kingdom is spirit, just like John wrote. Our kingdom is spirit. What God has done in us, done for us, is to create, beginning to create. He actually says to us, we create it and we build it, but he helps us because he is spirit and the kingdom is spirit. They're not made with human hands. They're made by this, by our own spirit and by the Spirit of God working with our own spirit to develop this inner kingdom. In the Old Covenant, the family line was also called house, such as House of David. But it was also called the Kingdom of David, interchangeably in the word. So, in that same respect, our house is a kingdom. our inner house, that which houses the Spirit of God and in our own spirit, as well as our soul. That is our house. And in that house is the kingdom of Nita Johnson, of Ricky Wilson, of Elizabeth Lee, of Daryl, of Artem. It is the kingdom, it is the house, and it is the kingdom of the individual who carries the name. Not only do we work to create and build this kingdom, working with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain of your own prophets or poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Isn't that beautiful? Up here we're learning about the house of David and the kingdom of David. And this includes not only David and his family, but those who came before him and those who were born and raised up after him, his whole family line. And then we have here in the book of Acts, that in him we live and move and have our being, for we are also his offspring. So if David had his offspring, which was called the house of David and the kingdom of David, Jesus has his offspring, which is us. And in him, we live and move and have our being. What being? The kingdom being. Not just the spirit of our house connected to the Spirit of Christ. Not just the soul, but our entire being, including this kingdom. It is ours because we are the offspring of Jesus Christ. Isn't that exciting? You know, I know when my daughter Ricky is teaching, she is so dynamic. And I'm sure you're all nodding your head yes right now. She's so dynamic, and she knows exactly how to move with the Spirit and pull the punch when it's time. But I'm not that kind of teacher. I tend to speak more contemplatively. I think about what I want to say, try to understand how to say it, and then expound on it a little. So I'm sorry if I'm not as exciting as my daughter, but this truth is exciting. And it's so exciting that the Lord could trust me with it instead of Ricky. So here we are. He is our everything. He is our life. He is our movement. And he carries within himself our being. Someone might say, you know, I've thought about that, and I don't really know how to look at it. I don't know how to perceive it. Well, sometime I'll try to explain it to you because he's shown that to me. So then we have the fruit of the Spirit. Now, some people think that there are things inside of us, such as the fruit of the Spirit, such as the ornaments of love, things of this nature. The virtues of Christ. Some people think that the minute we get saved, we have all of that stuff, and we don't, because that's part of the kingdom that we create and erect in our being. To walk with God, to house God, to learn of God, and to be used of God, both in this life and in the life to come. So, even so, Christ calls us his kingdom. Circumstances, family, and friends are all helping to create and build your kingdom. And they're all helping to do it by their interactions with you and you with them. When we react in the fruits of the Spirit, it's going to create something in our kingdom that is very, very important and significant. If we do it wrong, well, the Lord is good. He doesn't want us to suffer loss. So he'll probably bring us back through another trial of this sort so we can do it right. But whatever the case may be, in all that we do, all that we say, because remember, our words are spirit, and they do create. So we want to be very careful about the things that we say. And we're busy working with the Lord to create and to build our kingdom. Now, I put down just some ideas, such as the fruits of the Spirit, the virtues of Christ. The Bible says the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. So all of those things are things that God wants to fill our kingdom with. We are told that we are a temple, the temple of God. And although you and I don't walk around looking like a temple, we're still the temple of God. We're the house of God. We're the house of the Spirit of God. And in the same way that being the temple of God is true, being the owner of the kingdom of God, individually and collectively, is true. Now, I think I've covered it better this time. I tried to remember some of the things that happened in building this message that Jesus is trying to build in me. And as he speaks to me, I'd love to have the privilege of helping you grow with me in this revelation as I grow. Because right now, all he's giving us is the foundation. The job of building the building of this truth will take some time. But as I receive, I'd love to share it with you. Please let us know. Send us an email if you have email. If you don't have email, then send us a text. And just all you have to say is, we would like to continue learning about the kingdom. And I'll bring it to you.